Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today and to be in your presence. And we ask that you would just take the preparations that have been made and the thoughts that have been given, Lord. And if there's something wrong with it, change it. Lord, you make the impact. You make the application. Let the Holy Spirit, Lord, work in the hearts of everyone that's here. I pray for great spiritual decisions to be made today. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. The Bible is very, very practical. It is very practical in all aspects of our lives, but it's very practical concerning our money. Now, you've had 2 weeks of a real spiritual look, and today is no less spiritual, but it's going to have a lot more very practical application to it. 2 weeks of God's given everything to us, let's turn around and give our lives and our possessions back to Him. Now I'm going to talk to you about something that prevents that. I'm going to talk to you today about what is eating my oars. You know, we're sailing. We're discovering God's way. We have set sail through turbulent financial waters. And that's the day and age in which we're living. There are all kinds of pitfalls. It's as if we've run into some rapids or heavy waves or shallow water. And many times we need to find out just exactly what's keeping us from moving forward. Why did I call it what's eating my oars? Because sometimes the winds that blow us along easily stop and the sails are empty and we need to get out our oars and we need to just, you know, row in order to get where we're going. We put the oars in the water and they look sound when we begin. We row a while, we don't get anywhere, we pull the oars out and find out something is eating our oars up and we're just not getting anywhere. And the harder we run, the further we get behind. And the harder we try, we keep looking at balances on bills, and no matter how hard we try, the bill balance seems to keep going up. How many can identify with that? Just raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about. Been there, done that. Yeah. Most of us are in that boat much of the time. And so we're going to talk about what is eating our oars. You know, Pastor, do you think it's worth taking time on a Sunday morning at church to speak on such practical things? Why don't you tickle the angels' feet this morning? Just talk about heaven or talk about those things. Well, I do that. And we're going to do that. But this morning I want to talk about something that really, really affects your life. And that is debt. How many of you agree debt affects your life? And it is a spiritual thing. You say, spiritual? Debt? Oh yeah, debt is a very spiritual thing. Well, with the exception of love, the subject of love, the Bible speaks of no other subject more than it does of how we make, how we handle, how we spend, how we save, and how we give our money. There's no other subject with the exception of love itself. There's no other subject that it talks about more. And so God talks about it. Your text verse this morning we're going to jump off at this verse and just sort of hit other verses as we go through. But Luke chapter 16, verse 10 and 11. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. And if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? I cannot emphasize enough to you that the money that God puts in our hands, the wealth, the material possessions, it is a test from God. God puts it in our possessions to give us a test. He is putting us on trial. He is giving us an exam. And He is saying, all right, I'm going to find out and I'm going to let that person find out just how trustworthy they are. And our culture is one of instant gratification. We are the culture that says play now and pay later. But this kind of culture has a tendency to catch up with us. And what happens is we get caught in the debt trap. And if we were to compare it to sailing, we would say that there's no wind to fill our sails. And when we start using the oars to move forward, something is eating up our oars. We become fatigued. We become discouraged. And the financial freedom that we seek so much seems further and further away. And the first thing we need to do this morning is to say that debt is a trap. We need to recognize that we are entrapped when we get into debt. Proverbs 22 and verse 7 says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." You can translate that word slave. It may be a person, it may be an institution. And did you know that you lose your personal freedom when you get into debt? You become end up being the servant or the slave of a person or an institution to whom you are indebted. And your oars are getting eat up. You think you've got these tools to get yourself moving forward in life. You put them in the water and you move forward, but they're getting eat up, and they're getting eat up by debt. Now, the normal way that this happens is it happens through credit card debt in our day and age. And the credit card companies are very careful not to use the word debt when they make an offer to you to give you a credit card. They don't say, hey, I want to give you this new Visa card or this new MasterCard or whatever, and we want to encourage you to incur lots of debt. They never say that. That's not good advertising. They're smarter than that. They have a better way of doing it. They use very interesting phrases and slogans like, you get this little card because the life you're seeking is one you deserve. You deserve a better life. How about, could there be a better way to achieve your financial freedom than with our credit card? Think about that. They're going to give you a card to incur debts in order for you to have financial freedom. Here's one. This is the ideal way for you to become a master of your finances. The ideal way to provide yourself with the little extras that you know you really deserve. Just click here, receive your shiny new card, and start enjoying life. And they want you to think that you were not enjoying life until you got their card. Here's the best one. Your credit card will get you what you want and when you want it. So come on and spoil yourself. You deserve it. Curiously, the little word, debt, is never included. And advertisers are not going to use that word debt because it's like the dark green-eyed giant monster that comes gobbling up everything along the way as it comes towards you. I did it again. I didn't use Google this time. I just got Roger's thesaurus out and looked up the word debt. And let me give you a few thoughts from that little faithful book. It says, here's some other words, synonyms and descriptions of the word debt. Here they are. Owe, obligated, liable, in deficit, in default, insolvent, encumbered, in over one's head, tied up, out of pocket. Don't shrink down now. Just keep sitting there. In arrears, indigent, paupered, destitute, penniless, needy, lacking, distressed, in difficulty, deadbeat, having a wolf at the door, living hand to mouth, beggarly, empty, having seen better days, gone to the dogs, racked and ruined, impoverished, bad off, hard up, beaten down, reduced to ruin, fleeced, stripped, bereft, bereaved, reduced, unable to make ends meet, embarrassed, broke, and busted. And that's not all of them. I got tired of writing. And it's just amazing. And that's what debt is all about. And that's what we're buying. And you and I need to remember that when we slap down Mr. Amex or Mr. Visa or anyone. We need to remember exactly what we're doing. We are putting more and more nooses around our neck. We are committing ourselves before the fact. Now, as we sail through life, we need a few buoys along the way. You know what a buoy is? I know we live in Iowa, but I trust that we still are a maritime mentality enough to understand those floating things out there that mark the channel and all. We need some buoys. And I was out at Pastor David Nelms' church, former pastor here down at West Palm Beach, and I was there to preach a missions conference. And when I was there, of all things, he said, hey, I have a fishing trip lined up, a deep sea fishing trip. We're going to go out and go fishing. And imagine that. Pastor David Nelms taking time to go fishing. I couldn't believe that he was going to do it. He did. I was there. We went deep sea fishing. Now, I will add that I caught more fish. I have personally caught more fish in Iowa farm ponds last year than I have caught in all the oceans of the world every time I've been fishing. Now, I don't know whether it has anything to do with my ability or where they take me or whether it's a big joke they're pulling on me. But anyway, that's the facts. So as we were going out and coming back in, there were buoys all along the way. And these buoys marked barriers, and they marked reefs, and they marked shallow water, and they marked no-wake areas, and so on. And so they were there to mark and to guide you on the way, to keep you in the channel, to keep you out of shallow water, and so on. And so we watched them, and we needed those markers. Well, you and I need a few markers. A few warnings to tell us when we're treading in shallow water. On your scripture sheet. Now watch and follow me quickly as we move along. How do you know in your life when you're running in shallow water? How do you know? How do you do a sounding? And a sounding is to find the depth and find out if there's obstacles and so on. And they say, how do you do that? Well, here's some ways that you can do it. Follow along and jot some notes down as we go. Here's number one. Are you living on credit instead of paying cash? That's number one. Ask yourself, am I living on credit instead of paying cash? The Bible says in Romans 13:7, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, revenue. If respect, respect. Honor, then honor. And if you begin to depend on credit to maintain your lifestyle, you are spending too much. How do you know if you're living on credit? It's really simple. The balance is growing each month instead of the balance being decreasing each month. It's very, very interesting to know that. And then what is the reason for it? So why would we overspend? Why would we just keep going further and further in debt? Well, first of all, it's lack of contentment. Lack of contentment. Now, we've talked about this message and this thought and this one of the Ten Commandments, which when the Bible says to not covet, He is basically saying to us, be content with such things that you have. And we have a lack of contentment. And we mentioned that the idea a few weeks ago, and again, it's so true, and I say it again, and that is if we live a life of discontentment, it's not with our circumstances, it's with God Himself. We're saying to God, God, You're not fair. Look what others have. Look what others can do. I can't do it. I look at me. I'm a man. I'm 40-something years old. I'm a woman. I'm in midlife. I ought to be able to have all these things now. I've waited all my life. And I just want all these things. And so what do? We go out and we just get it. And we do what we want to do in order to do that. We're willing to incur the debt. Paul said in Philippians that we haven't learned. You know, in Philippians chapter 4, he talked about having learned to be content in whatever state he found himself. And so we haven't learned that lesson. There's something else. Not only is it a lack of contentment, but it's also we make a presumption about the future. When we do this, we make a presumption and we assume about tomorrow. But the Bible says clearly in Proverbs 27:1, don't brag about tomorrow. You don't know what may happen tomorrow. And credit debt, assuming that everything's going to be the same and you're going to have all kinds of money and the stock market's just going to keep climbing and your job is just going to always be there, and to incur more and more debt is to presume about tomorrow. And so we make all these plans and we go in further and further into debt, presuming things are going to be okay. The job market goes berserk, we lose our job, and then God gets blamed for the debt that we incurred. You see, we are making presumptions. And did you know that if you carry a credit card and you go into a store to buy something, that the statistics show that you are apt to spend 20% more than you would have if you were putting down cold hard cash? Just try it out. Try it sometime. When you got to go and buy something, you just take cold hard cash and spend it. It's much more difficult to lay down those 20s and 50s and so on than it is to just put down that plastic and say, oh, well, I don't have to deal with it today. I can deal with it later. And it's just the facts. There's a second sounding to take, and that is, are you delaying payments and are you paying the minimum amount? Delaying payments. You're late on payments, and you're just paying the minimum just to get by. These are soundings you need to take. Romans 13:8, let no debt remain outstanding except the one continuing debt to love one another. That's another sermon. We'll preach on that in the future. Are you late on payments? Are you just scraping by? Do you find yourself shuffling bills? I heard about a guy that had so many bills and so many credit card debt that he played games with them. He'd just get them all out there and he'd shuffle them and he'd just have his wife pick one blindly. She'd pick one. He'd throw the other ones in the garbage and pay them the minimum amount that much. Hey, that's not a very good plan to get out of debt. It's not going to work. And so we got to do something different. And so there's a third sounding. Here it is. Watch this now. Do you find yourself unable to tithe or to save? This might be the real telltale sign of shallow water financially when you're running. Are you unable to tithe or to save? And this is a good one. Many of us are not like the rich fool at all. We talked about him last week. His problem wasn't that he wasn't rich toward himself. He just wasn't rich toward God. Many of us have this problem. We're not only not rich toward God, we're not rich toward ourselves either. We're not giving to God or ourselves. We're just not even thinking about it. You get to the point where you cannot give 10% back to God. You can't tithe. You can't save for the future because you're having to spend every penny of it on bills that you've already incurred. And I know a lot of people who challenge the idea of regular planned giving and giving with a certain amount in mind. They say, well, that's just an Old Testament doctrine. I have never known a Christian that regularly gave and tithed and gave with grace giving beginning at the tithe that did not also believe in it. I've never seen one that did that. Well, I don't believe it's a New Testament doctrine, but I'm just going to do it anyway because I love God. You know, I've never found anybody like that. And so we find ourselves not willing to give, not willing to tithe. Why? And it's not about being willing. It's that we were willing to just keep throwing down and keep getting further and further into debt. How serious does God look at this thing? Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? You say, wait a minute. Let's be careful with our words. These aren't my words. These are Malachi's words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. You ask, how do we rob you? He answers, in tithes and in offerings. I'm not tithing. If I'm not tithing and I'm not saving, then I am spending way too much. Proverbs 21:20, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil. But get this, but a foolish man devours all that he has. If you're living right at the limit and you're spending every penny that comes in every week to just keep your head above water, then something's got to change. Income or outgo, something has to change. Jesus said in Matthew 22:21, give to Caesar, the government, what is Caesar's, and to God, what is God's. And that's a real exciting Bible teaching. But do you find yourself not able, not only to tithe, do you find yourself not able to pay your taxes? What a time of the year to talk about that, Pastor Phil. You are really something. How timely. Well, do you have a habit, number five, of extravagant spending? Extravagant spending. Well, how do I know if I spend excessively? Well, do you need it? Are you being sold something because somebody wants to sell it to you, or are you purchasing something because you went out looking for it? There's not anything wrong in the world with saving up and buying the things you need. There's something hugely wrong with you being sold something you weren't looking for in the first place, or just to keep up with somebody around you that has that. And so we need to ask ourselves that question. Do I really need it? Now let me say this lest I get myself in enormous trouble this morning. And I want to say this to all of the husbands, the fiancés, and boyfriends that are out there this morning. That lady in your life, there's no question about this. That lady in your life needs lots of flowers at Valentine's Day. That is no option. They need it. Put the card down. How many of you ladies are in agreement? Put your hand up. All right, good. That's settled. So that's a need. But listen, do you really need a cell phone where you can look at the person you're talking to or take pictures of people that are standing out in front of you? Do you need that? You know, I know that that's all the craze now. You just say, look at this guy over here. Listen, do we need that? We're spending all kinds of money for those kinds of things. You say, how can I know if I'm in trouble? Do you find yourself watching QVC? Do you read the Sharper Image catalog? Or do you take regular trips to the mall to window shop? You know, window shopping is what got Achan into trouble. He saw what he didn't need. He coveted what he couldn't afford. He took what wasn't rightfully his, and finally paid a price that was far more than he wanted to pay. Not only did he pay it, but his wife, his children, his entire family, and ultimately the entire nation of Israel paid because he went window shopping. He went looking at things that there was no way in the world he had any business looking at, and he did it, he coveted it, he took it, he hid it, and it just goes on and on from there. He lost his life, his family's life, and it affected the nation. Proverbs 21:7, he who loves pleasure will become poor, but whoever loves wine and oil will never be rich. And this last one may surprise you. Are you always looking for a get-rich-quick idea? You say, what does that have to do with it? Well, if you are in a situation financially where you are trying to get out of debt by playing the lottery, you are in trouble. You really are. It is a get-rich-quick ideology. The Bible says, Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent. Watch that. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. When you get into debt, it's easy to begin to live in a fantasy world and to fantasize, thinking some way, somehow, I'm going to get out of this and it's going to be quick. And some people in this world, it is true, are entrepreneurs. They know how to start a business and get it going and get out of debt quickly. And we get the idea, some of us, all right, I tell you what, I got this great idea. I've got a big deal coming. My boat's going to come in. And I'm just going to start this thing, and it's going to just bail me out. Everything's going to be okay. You say, well, how do you know if you're really an entrepreneur? It's very simple. Do you make money at what your schemes are? If you don't make money, then you better leave that entrepreneurial spirit to someone else, and you better find a way to diligently make your money, save it, and spend it in a wise way. And some poor guys are always coming up with a new idea. And you've seen them. It's an idea a month. They come hit you up, call you on the, hey, can we have coffee? I want to talk to you about something. I got an idea. I got something. And all you need to do is button your billfold up. Just button it up, have coffee, and say, wow, that's great. I hope you find enough suckers to help you get that going. You know, because that's exactly what's happening. And you know what? Others try the lottery. They try gambling. And they just know the next pull of the slot or the next roll of the dice is going to make them rich. You know, the gambling industry has a name for the people planning on getting out of debt by playing the lottery. They have a name for those people. Loser. It doesn't work. Gambling is really cool. It is wonderful. It's entertainment, they say. You know, I've always wondered about that. Well, I just do it because of the entertainment. Here's the entertainment. Okay, you walk in, see the lights, you go and say, hey, I'm here to be entertained. Take my money. Okay, thanks. Come back. I'm having a hard time with that one. Amen. Ecclesiastes 5:7, dreaming all the time instead of working is foolishness. New Living Translation. Get that. Dreaming all the time instead of working is foolishness. And there is a ruin and a flood of empty words. Fear God instead and get to work. So what does God want you to do to begin to get out of debt? My time goes so quickly on Sunday morning. And I want to say that this is God's instruction book. The Bible is God's instruction book on life. And if we would just pay attention and obey what He says, we can change the direction of our life. And I want to say to you, like a boat, if we're not paying attention, like the Exxon Valdez and like the Titanic and like every other boat that ever got into trouble, they did not steer their boat for trouble. They didn't do it on purpose. They drifted into trouble. And I want you to know that none of you this morning is so foolish as to say, wow, I can't wait to get into debt. I want to see how fun that would be to get into debt and then to see how fast I could get out. You know, it's kind of like a yo-yo. In I go, out I come. In I go, out I... Oh, how fun. Nobody does that. We drift into debt. You may drift into debt, but you are never going to drift out of debt. Are you listening? You may drift in, but you will never drift out. You're going to have to plan. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to think. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to sacrifice. And you're going to have to do things different. And I have 9 oars to put in the water this morning. Pastor, you have as many points as a porcupine this morning. You are wearing us out. Look at this sheet. Well, I know I have lots of points this morning, and I'm not trying to wear you out, but you would not want me to preach pointless sermons, would you? That was a good one. I love that. I want to say some things to you that will make a difference. Here's 9 good oars to put in the water. This will get your boat moving. It's going to make a difference. And some of these things are going to be like taking castor oil. Hard to swallow, but they will give you some definite help once you take them. Number 1, commitments. Decide to become debt-free now. Make a decision. Put a flagpole up in your life. Go to your calendar and circle the date. Say, all right, that was the day I decided to stop letting the boat drift. I'm going to grab hold of the wheel. I know I'm not going to get out in a day, a week, a month, or maybe a year or 10, but I'm going to stop going this direction. I'm going to turn it around. Decide to become debt free. Psalm 37:21 says, "The wicked borrow and do not repay." God says to borrow and not repay is wicked. Why would He say it's wicked? Because it hurts the person you do not repay. And it hurts the person that does not repay. We've heard this word thrown around all the time. And I'm going to make somebody mad this morning, but the word bankruptcy. Oh, I just had to go bankrupt. And boy, we've got that provision in our country and how wonderful it is. I talked to a fellow that had been bankrupt 7 times. 7 times in this city, and he has a house that's worth over $500,000 in West Des Moines. Something's wrong with that scenario. Bankruptcy. You say, well, it's legal in our country. We can do that. We can call you. Listen, there are a lot of things legal in the world that are not right. Abortion is legal, but it is not right. You see what I'm saying to you? Now, bankruptcy, oh, it's an option out there, but it'll never make you, and it'll never prove to you that God is who He says He is, and it will never be fair to the person who lost out on the other side. Why does God want me to do it the difficult way? Why? Because to repay the people, because God cares about the people you owe just like He cares about you. Are you listening? He cares about everyone. And then also what it does in our hearts, the fulfillment of knowing that I've done the right thing even though it took a long time. I will be fulfilled knowing that I did the right thing. It's not going to be easy. It's easier to get into debt than out. It's always easier. It'll take a commitment. It will take discipline. It will take delayed gratification. And it will take perseverance, but it's worth it. Here's the second thing. Pay God first, then yourself. Oh, I knew this was going to be about giving. I knew He was coming. You know what? I am not sorry for telling you the truth about giving to God. I am not sorry. I will never apologize for telling you, you know what? We live on God's earth, breathe His air, drink His water, and besides that, He poured out His blood on Calvary to give us eternal life so that we could go to heaven and live forever in paradise. And I will never apologize for telling you, put God first in every area of your life and put Him first in your finances. Put Him first. Put God first. Pay God first, then yourself. A lot of verses are listed there, but let me just go down. Deuteronomy 14:23, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. Right off the top. Pay God first 10%. And then pay yourself the next 10%. Now, this is just an idea. You go to some financial planner, they're going to be able to tell you better than I am. But here's a good idea. Give God 10%. Put 10% in the bank some kind of way and live on 80%. You say, what'll that do for me? Well, if you are 25 years old and you do that and only make $15,000 a year for the next 20 years, you will have given the Lord's work $30,000, and at 10%, you will have earned $85,913 during that time. You've saved it. That's pretty good. Or let's suppose you adopted this plan at 35. You make $30,000 a year for the next 20 years. By 55, you will have given $60,000 to the Lord's work, and your own fund will have grown to $171,000. Let's say you adopted this plan at 40 and your family income is $60,000 a year. By age 60, you've given $120,000 to God's work and you have earned and saved $343,000 aside in a single investment fund. Pay yourself. You say, am I supposed to save money like that when there's so many? Yeah. Pay God and pay yourself. Let me hustle. Number three, find out all that I own and find out all that I owe. You know, we own a lot that we don't even think about. You know, we might be more happy and satisfied in life if we just had a good inventory of the things we already have. You know, I'm bad about that. I go up to Mecca up here. You heard me talk about Mecca, all right, already. I go up here to Ankeny to the Sportsman's Warehouse and I drool over the fishing rods and the lures and all those kinds of things. If I would just go out to my little shed in my backyard and open it up and get knocked down with all the stuff that's already in there, I wouldn't even think about those things that are over there. Find out all that we owe and find out all that we owe. But you know what we hate to do? It's just like a weigh-in when you're trying to lose weight. You know, you got that scale over there, and the very first thing you have to do before you get started, before they even talk to you about losing weight or helping you lose weight, you got to come over here and stand on the scale. If we say, no, I can't take a look at that. Well, it's not going to work. You have to take a good look at who you are, what you own, what you owe. And fourth thing, have a sale. Have a sale. Oh, but I got a lot of things out there I have paid for. Oh, I wouldn't do me any good to sell them because I've got them paid for. Well, some of those things you might have paid for that you never use, you might get put on the things that are not paid for and start heading yourself toward financial freedom. Some of you are thinking that it's paid for. Well, even if it is paid for, there is equity and you might be able to get yourself out of trouble. Let me say something about automobiles. So, Pastor Phil, are you going to give us advice about what to buy in an automobile? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Buy a used car. You say, what? I can't be seen riding some dilapidated piece of junk going down the road. I've got to. Well, just what will everybody think about me? What will you think about yourself when you start looking at those bills? Insurance, gasoline, all those kinds. What are you going to think about yourself? What's God going to think about you? We bought the car for the wrong reason. We didn't buy it for transportation. We didn't even buy it for safety for the family. We bought it for status. We want those guys to say, ooh, look at that guy. He's got. Look at that car. Man. We bought it for the wrong reason. And so we need to stop and think, and if there's any way to unload it. And I want to say something to you. If there is anything in your life that God says to you, you need to get rid of that and sell that, and you say, no, I can't get rid of that. That thing means too much. But God's Word has a word for that thing that you're putting before God's will. It's called an I-D-O-L, idol. You say, we don't have any totem poles. Nope. We just have two-eyed, four-wheeled idols and many other things. They're idols. And we don't look at it that way. Number five, set up a repayment plan. You did not accidentally get into debt, or you may have accidentally gotten into debt, but you will not accidentally get out of debt. It may have been a coincidence. It might have been an incident. It might have been just a happenstance that you just drifted over there into troubled financial water. But you're not going to get out without some kind of plan. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to poverty or lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. To do this right, you got to have a plan. You got to work your plan. You need a financial counselor. You need something, somebody that can help you in the area of accountability and start pointing you in the right direction. You say, Pastor, are you the person? Nope, do not come to me for financial counseling. Do not knock on my door, call my phone, or send me email. I am just like everybody else. I just try to keep my wanter under control. So that way I don't want stuff that I cannot afford. But it's eating away at our family's finances, your family's finances, and we can talk about it, we can whine over it, or we can do something about it. And sometimes we just ignore it as if it doesn't exist. And the reason many of us never go to seek any kind of help is this reason right here. And Mike, why don't you come on up? I don't know where you are. Come on up here if you would. Here's why we don't. We don't want to recognize that growing in grace in the area of finances takes discipline and we don't want to say that. We don't want to look at that. We don't want to say, I know it's going to take, we don't want the discipline part of it. And so we don't do it. But we have a class here on spiritual disciplines to help you grow. And that's Grace 201. And then we at Grace Church don't want to tell you to share Christ without fear, without equipping and training you. And so in September, we're taking the whole month to equip our church to share their faith. And now then, we're not going to tell you at church. I'm not going to stand up here and say, do something about your finances without having opportunities to grow. Mike, come on up. And Mike is involved in the class Financial Peace University. He's going to take just a couple of minutes and share what God's doing in his own life. And this guy is a financier.
Good morning. My wife and I, Carol and I, have been attending Financial Peace University for about 6 weeks, and we've been learning a lot in that class. It's not about the budget sheets or the cash flow worksheets or saving plans that are difficult to understand, but it's simply the fact that financial peace can be obtained, even as Pastor talked about winning the lottery. For me, it's a God thing. It took many years for the light to finally turn on what's going on. But don't get me wrong, I still don't like those budget sheets or the savings plans, but I see them as a tool now. So far, we've covered budgeting and accounting, being super savers, as pastors mentioned, you know, paying God, paying yourself, and then taking care of others. Cash flow planning, relating to money, looking at the big bargains, and dumping debt. And a real big one, stop making debt. How many credit card applications or pre-approvals have come in the mail? I got one just this week. You know, great timing. An application here, pre-approval for $100,000. All right? And then we're talking about investments this week. And there's many more topics to come along. The class facilitators, Larry and Kathy Jatho, are doing a great job in the class. But the key is, it's up to us to take that information, the principles that God has laid out in His Word, and to use them. But it all comes back to peace, and we all want that. No one wants the phone calls or the letters in the mail of saying that you owe money, when can you pay. But with the biblical principles presented in the class, though it will take time, results will be achieved. I had some verses, and Pastor, he stole them this morning. He took them already, so I'm not going to take the time for that. But the thing is to make that commitment. And I've gone through a couple of plastic surgeries already since taking the class. Now, he doesn't look any different, right? But I've done some things already, and I just want to show you the commitment that you have to do. I'm not picking on this company, but I have a Menards card right here. All right, I've got about $200 left on this card, and by April, in my repayment plan, I'll have them done. But the best thing that I can do is just take this pair of scissors and make the commitment.
Ooh! Look at that! That hurts.
You know, and then just do that. Ooh. And then, thank you. And one of the other ones I've cut up early, it's that key phrase, you know, what is in your wallet? Well, they're gone from my wallet, too. So. But in closing, cutting up that credit card, you know, it reminds me, you know, who is the slave here? And I'm tired of being a slave. So with the right priorities, you know, I've closed some accounts, and I have a plan to get rid of the rest, and it's gone. I mean, it will be gone. And I have to praise God for that, because it wouldn't be up to me. I encourage you, each of you who haven't gone, or if you need a refresher, to get into the next offering of that seminar. It's fantastic. And with the proper mindset, God will show you really what is out there. Don't go into the class that, you know, what can you teach me, you know, because you have to go in there with your arms open, and He will show you there. Thank you.
Now, if you get people following you trying to get a hold of that application for $100,000, you'll know that they're having problems themselves. So don't chase them out the door for that one for $100,000. Boy, if I just had that one for $100,000, I could combine everything. Oh, man, you're in deep. You really are having problems. Let me hustle and get done here. The next thing we need to do is we need to decide to do it in half the time. You say, what? Mike, doesn't that hit you hard? Decide to do it in half the time. You say, well, that's impossible. I can't even do it now. Luke 18:27, what is impossible with men is possible with God. You'll be surprised what God can do if you commit and do that. And the next thing, number 7, add no new debt. Add no new debt. It is so important. Don't add new debt as you're trying to pay off the old debt. It becomes a revolving door, and there's lots of reasons why we get into debt, but most of them is for one simple reason. We're spending more than we are bringing in. So we have to make a decision. I'm going to stop this. It's because of those credit cards. And I'm going to challenge Pastor Dan and Pastor Chuck and Larry Jatho this morning to get a huge pickle jar. I'll eat the pickles, you save the jar, okay? And I love pickles. And so I'll eat the pickles, you save the jar. We're going to see how many credit cards we can, as they come and talk to these guys, how many credit cards we can get cut up around this church and make a big difference in our life. And if your boat is going down, you can do one of two things in trying to keep yourself above water. One, you can just start bailing water as fast as you can, or you can go back and do the first step, and that is stop the leak first. If you can stop the leak, then bailing water out is going to make a difference. But if it's still leaking, you can bail all you want to, and you're just going to keep bailing and never get ahead. So you've got to stop the leak. And many of your financial boats are leaking tremendously. You've got to stop the leak and then begin bailing out yourself out of those difficulties and trusting God. And learn to be content, Hebrews 13:5. Be content with those things that you have. Number 8, share my plan with my creditors. What? You mean talk to those people? They love for you to talk to them. Tell them the decision you made. Call them. What they hate is not hearing from you. Call them. Tell them what you're planning on doing. Send them. Tell them what you can do. And then do it faithfully as you get rid of it. Then number 9, finally, stick to it. Stick to your plan. Stick with it. Don't give up. Don't go 3 months and say, oh man, I'm having a fit. I have just got to get myself a new set of golf clubs. Look at that last year's model sitting over there. I just can't live with it. I've got to go out and put down the plastic and get it. No, stick to your plan. Stick with it. Giving out of debt is not easy. Galatians 6:9, don't get tired of doing what is right, and after a while, you will reap if you do not faint or if you do not quit. And the benefits of sticking to your plan are enormous. Now, in your worship folder this morning, there's a little green card, and I want you to grab it. We're going to be done. There's a green card. It looks just like this. Grab that green card, pull it out, and look at it. This is like stepping on the scale. Say, all right, I'm going to hold that card in my hand. Some of you are sweating right now as you hold that card in your hand. Your beads of perspiration are coming on your palms and under your arms. I won't mention that. But we're all nervous. Takes a decision. Number one, here's what I can decide. I will do something or do nothing about my finances. I'll do something or I'll do nothing. You've got to decide. Number two, I will put me first or God first in my finances. It's so simple. Matthew 6:33, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You just do the right thing today. Trust God. Seek His kingdom. Will I put God first? Or will I put me first in my finances? You know, boy, if I was to start giving to the Lord, I'm telling you, I would go under. You try the Lord and see if the Lord doesn't help you. There are hundreds of people in this church that can give testimony about times in their life when they didn't give and times in their life when they did give and how God is so much more bountiful when they're faithful. So learn that. Then number 3, will I begin now? If not now, when? If you don't feel comfortable with $20,000 worth of debt, maybe you'll feel better with 40, and then you'll start. Or maybe if not 40, then 80, then you'll start. Folks, it's just too painful. Start now. Start today. There is another debt that's far more important. You say, what? Oh yeah, we owe another debt. You say, what debt is that? You see, a person that has a real, real hard time recognizing and owning up to his own financial debts is very apt to have a problem recognizing his spiritual debt to God Almighty in heaven. Because if you cannot be faithful in these little bitty things concerning money, you will never be faithful in the big stuff. And I dare to say to you this morning that many of you have not learned lesson number 1 with God, and that is that the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, and the beginning of success in your life is when you fear God and put Him first. This is a spiritual decision this morning. It is a spiritual thing to say, I'm going to honor God with the first fruits of my life. I'm going to think of Him first, not me. And if you're not even inclined to do that this morning, then perhaps you've never even considered the debt that you owe God. The offenses toward God Himself, the offenses toward other people, the offenses toward humanity itself, the offenses called sins. I want you to know this morning that you and I are indebted to an Almighty God because we have sinned. We've earned a wage, all right, but that wage is called death. And the only way to cancel out that penalty for our sin, that debt that we owe, the only way to cancel it out is to die and go to hell. Or we can accept the full free pardon and payment of Jesus Christ. Can I read you a verse? The Bible says here in the book of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, when you were dead in your sins, you were indebted. You were dead in your sins in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to His cross. You say, I'm not going to be able to get out of financial debt in a day, in a week, in a month, or a year. No, but I'm going to tell you something right now, this morning, this moment, you can get out of debt with God in the next 30 seconds. You say, how do I do that? You are indebted. You have offended an Almighty God and many of His creatures. You've offended them. You've sinned. You say, well, what do I need to do? Then you need to face it. Face the facts. Step on the scale. Find out that you've been weighed and found wanting. And that you are sinners before God Almighty. And I am a sinner. But whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. He says, ho, everyone that's thirsty, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. He offers forgiveness for our sins, if we would but ask. The biggest debt you have is to God, not to the bank. The biggest debt you have is to God Almighty, not to your creditors. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm talking to you this morning, and you may not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. This isn't time to hit the aisle. You may not know the Lord as your personal Savior this morning. You may be still under the debt of sin to God Almighty. Well, you need to call on Him to be your Savior. How do I do it, Pastor? Pray this prayer. Father, I am indebted to You because I am a sinner. My sins have risen up over my head. There is no payment that I can make to take them away. But Your Son, Jesus, died on the cross for me. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I receive His payment for my debt. I believe on Jesus that He died, that He was buried, that He rose again, that He offers me eternal life. I receive Him in my heart today. Please receive me into Your kingdom. I give You total care and control of my life. Thank You for dying for me. In Jesus' name, amen.